from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Mike has gone off for his broadcasting duties, but good news, we still have the C Block starring Corey Majors.
And we will get to Are You Better in just a few moments, but before we do that, and Reggie, I know you're very busy during this time, but I want just a moment of your time, if you will. Is Jason Kidd a championship caliber coach?
Huh.
He just took you to the finals of the championship. He got you to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. And I wonder if people look at Jason Kidd now and say, no, he's actually a championship caliber coach now. It's different whenever you've won a championship, because everybody's like, yeah, I mean, you won a championship. But whenever you're still in the hunt for it, do you believe that Jason Kidd is the difference for a team whenever they're trying to get a championship?
Is this directed at me?
Everybody in the room.
Because, yeah, this is a tough one to answer. Yeah. Like, I think I gained a lot of respect for Jason Kidd and his coaching acumen during the course of this playoff run. For one, if we want to just take it from the wider lens of looking at this, this is the second time he's taken a team deep in the playoffs in 3 years of being here in Dallas. And, of course, you can look at his time in Milwaukee and those things. But, like, this is...
He's the only coach in Mavs history to make multiple Western Conference Finals.
Right. Instantly. You look at that. I mean, at this point, he is the winningest when you talk about series wins in a coaching tenure with the Mavs, and he has been here three seasons, right? Like, that means something, especially when you compare him to, like, one of the guys that you're talking about here in Rick Carlisle, who was obviously the predecessor and the man who was at the helm when you won the one championship that you won. Like, he is widely regarded as a very good coach in this league. Jason Kidd has already done things that he has not been able to live up to here in Dallas. So, like,
Except for the one thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But from that perspective, it's like, yo, Jason Kidd is doing some things. And then if you get down to some of, like, the nitty gritty, like, you saw some good buttons that he pushed that during the course of these series where the Mavericks really handled up during the course of this run. I think with all of that being said, and I was having this conversation last night, I was thinking through it because this conversation came up. I still feel like I'm in the place where Jason Kidd is absolutely not the worst coach in the league, but I don't put him amongst the elite coaches in this league.
Interesting. Okay.
And can you win a championship without an elite coach? I think so. But I wonder if he ends up looking something like a Mike Budenholzer, where you can win a championship with him, but are you still going to be super excited about, and when I say you, I don't necessarily mean the organization, but like I think the larger fan base and maybe the larger basketball world looking in where you go, He is a definitive reason that is changing the level, or that's raising the ceiling of what the team is. And I mean, there's still something to be examined there, but that's my immediate reaction just coming off of this.
I like that. That's a really good, well thought out. I mean, for somebody who just off the top of their head said words, He said really good words.
Pretty much that was all encapsulated by my sigh.
Yeah.
That was what my sigh meant. I was like, oh, that's a complicated question. I would lean towards not necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I think the way he put it was very, very good.
From the 214, he's a championship coach, but his squad wasn't versatile enough to win. And here's one thing I will add to that. The coaches that know the difference between a championship and not know what they still need and what they don't have. Yeah, and like that's... Wouldn't you say that Bochy last year, there were moments where he was like, I'm going to need a Jankowski kind of player. And he definitely needed a Jankowski type player. As they were getting to it, he was in the conversations with his GM. Look, we still need this. We still need that. And they continued to build that team. I think that's another factor that comes along with it. I agree. Because of a huge thing here, and we'll obviously talk more about it, but his roster was lacking the shooter whenever he needed to find a shooter. And you said it yesterday, when you go searching for a shooter, you're probably not going to find it. You're already answered the question that you don't have the guy on the court, so you're searching to find him. And then he kept searching this whole time, and he couldn't find, whether it was Tim or whoever, he was trying to get somebody that would be the shooter, and nobody delivered for it. And so he's probably sitting back today going, you know what? In order to do what I want to accomplish, I'm going to have to find that shooter.
Hell, even as we give Nico Harrison credit for like putting this roster together, this roster coming together and giving, I guess, the proverbial groceries needed to cook the meal, that came together after the trade deadline. And Jason Kidd took that, put it together, got everybody to buy in, and they played a high level of defense, one of the best defenses in the league throughout that stretch and in through the playoffs, right? Like that deserves a lot of credit. I don't take this as me not trying to give him his credit, but it just feels like when you get to that last level of like coach on coach matchup, Joe Mazzulla felt like he did a fantastic job with that team. And maybe this is an unfair bar to then coach, put Jason Kidd up against. But right now, that's the thing that is fresh in my mind that is making that distinction. And so maybe I'm not being fully fair, Kevin. Is that how you feel at all? But it just feels like when you get to that last elite level, and maybe that's, the last, three, four coaches in the league where you go, those guys are the elite ones. I don't feel like he's there, but I don't know if that's even necessary for the conversation.
No, I do think it's necessary for the conversation, because didn't this series also answer that for Mazzulla? Like, I don't think people rolled into this series and was like, he is absolutely one of the best coaches. I think that's they valid. Saw the series play out and they're like, oh, okay. And that might have diminished Jason Kidd a little bit. I'm not saying a lot, because the point that you made that I really, really like is they made the trades, but the team didn't come together until after the trade deadline. And even then, that's not a lot of time. So you absolutely have to give Jason Kidd some level of credit for that. But I don't think he's in that group. That's not to say he can't get to that group, though.
All right. Well, guys, thank y'all for taking part in that conversation. And Kevin, this morning I was hurt. I was dealing. I texted my mom just a few minutes ago and I said, Mom, I think my job is good for me, because it allows me to come in and talk and vent and have sports therapy with my friends every day.
Yes.
This is a really good thing. And I hope the Tolos that have stuck with us are moving past as we get ready to heal tomorrow. But right now, let me heal you with this. It's time.
You're Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
You play right field.
Yes.
I play right field too.
So?
Well, are you better than me?
Well, I never met you, but yes.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry. And yes, Kevin, I'm better than you.
Kevin, as I just showed you, this is a very extensive list. I don't have to name everybody on the list, but we will get after it.
We might be running long.
The affiliates do need to know. This is a segment called Are You Better? And if you're new to the show and you never heard Are You Better before, it's a show segment we started doing together on the weekends. Kevin used to do this segment in college. We did it on the weekends. And we asked Kevin if he thinks he's better than everybody born today. If you were born today and you'd like to think that you're better than Kevin, text in 877-881-1053.
What if they were born yesterday?
Today is the day. My apologies. Jason Michaels, friend of the show, Tolo.
Oh, yeah, I know him. He could be better than
me. Messaged me this morning and specifically said, I'm turning 45 today.
Man.
Can we do Are You Better? And I was like, I like this idea.
Did he bring any other credentials to the table?
He brings barbecue to us.
That is a good point.
And it's good barbecue.
It is good barbecue.
Can you make good barbecue?
Hell no.
And he's a good human.
He could have ended that sentence a word early. Can you make good? Probably not. Yeah, he's better than me for sure.
All right. And again, if you would like to text in, and if you
need to put your resume in there too, though.
Put the resume down there. Sorry, last Saturday was my birthday. As Kevin's nemesis, I am better.
I told that person at the
time. Oh, yeah, you did discuss that. All right, here we go. Mason Marchment turns 29 today. He is the Stars winger.
He is. I feel
29.
We could have used him a little bit more down the stretch, but he did.
More physicality.
But he did a heck of a job helping us get there.
Get where?
To the Western Conference Final.
But not the final.
That is a good point. For one more year, you're on borrowed time. For now, you're better. But let this be known, unless there's further playoff progress, maybe even hoisting that cup, this could be it.
I agree with you. I'm okay with that for now. Turning 61 today, former Buffalo Bill, Bruce Smith. Did he play for Washington too?
So let me get this straight. He, man, this is tough because he is great.
He's one of the best.
But I've
already did play for Washington though for 4 years.
He played for the hated Washingtons, and he played for Buffalo. You know what? I'm gonna give him a pity better because he didn't get a Super Bowl when he was with Buffalo. So today can be your Super Bowl. Congratulations! You can be better than me.
8 times in the top 5 voting for Defensive Player of the Year.
Wait, since when did you start giving out pity betters?
This is soft, dude. This is softest you've ever been, bro.
This ain't the Kevin that I knew.
I told you he makes me soft because whenever we leave, he's like, "Bye, Dad."
Yeah, this is.
That's it. Next one. I'm taking him down.
All right. Let me see if I can.
Hold on. Are you scouting the list? That's not fair.
Okay.
No, he's just reviewing his list.
Turned 35 today. Former Bronco Chris Harris.
Yeah. No, I mean, good for him.
All right.
There's also a wrestler named Chris Harris that was about equal to him. So better. Better.
Turning 44 today. Antonio Gates.
Yeah. He's good. But you know what? If we're just going to really set things on fire, he's not as good as Jason Witten and would never have as good fake hair as Jason Witten. So
what?
I'm going to say, do you dispute that second part?
I mean, it's real hair. It's just moved from
whose
one.
Hair?
Like Landon Donovan's. It's just moved from one section to another.
What's the deal with that?
What's the deal with that? Apparently, there was a text chain from him sent out that let it be known that he had gotten a transplant and that he had been assured that it would not show up on TV. And yet and still, it did show up on TV.
This feels like the part where Reggie goes, oh, buddy. Yeah, that's a good point from the 469. I miss Cutthroat Kevin. All right, better.
Wow. Jeff Saturday turns 49 today on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's great.
That's weird.
Have your birthday be on a Saturday, and you'll be in the conversation.
I bet at some point.
Yeah, probably every 6 years or so.
Former Rangers great Matt Moore turns 35 today.
Okay.
They don't call him Matt Less, Kevin.
That's true.
I guess that's true. But then there was also Matt Moore, the quarterback, that people were like, I don't know, maybe we should have kept him. So, better.
Lou Brock.
Oh, my God.
No longer with us.
He was fast. He was very fast.
All right.
Yeah.
Good enough?
Lou Brock's better than me. I'm not fast.
George Mikan, also no longer with us.
All right, look. I have questions. I just have a question, okay? Because everyone talks about how great George Mikan was, and they had George Mikan rules. I never really saw him play. Did they still have to climb the ladder to get the ball back when he was playing?
That was a long time ago.
That's a good joke.
I mean, he is dead.
Oh, okay. Well, so congratulations, George Mikan. We're going to switch it up just a little bit. You're not as good of a singer as I would have guessed. And also, you are deader than me.
Wow.
I'm not dead.
It's true.
That is, yet. Yeah. I can. Well.
We all die. That's what Mike would tell me.
Turning 58 today, Sandy Alomar Jr.
Is he the Alomar that spit?
No.
Okay, so he's not the spitting Alomar.
And I'm pretty sure I was standing next to him the day that Josh Young had his first home run in his first game ever, and Josh Young's dad was standing next to Sandy Alomar, and they hugged each other. It was a great moment.
Well, I appreciate that. Spitters are quitters, so congratulations to him. He is better.
It is 1:14 p.m. And I would like to remind you, as I have all week.
That's a baseball discussion.
The children are not in school right
that,
now.
That was about baseball. Okay. I don't even know
my kids
why
are listening at home.
That would offend anybody.
Hi, Lucy.
Paul McCartney turns 82 today.
All right. Let's talk about it real quick. Blackbird sang the hierarchy of the Beatles. He's second, right?
Take these broken wings.
Give me John Lennon all day. Ringo. Who do you think I'm gonna put there? Give me John Lennon all day. Also, did he marry a gal with a wooden leg? Did I make that up?
I think that's true.
Kevin, I also have a revelation about that wooden leg, just like the wooden teeth.
Hold on. Oh my God.
And she looked just like his other wife.
Oh.
If you go back and look in history.
Oh, dear.
Plus, remember, didn't he die and was replaced by a lookalike?
What are you doing right now?
That was a fan theory.
Who died more and continued to play music? Avril Lavigne or Paul McCartney? Because you've heard that rumor, right?
Yeah.
This, the second Avril Lavigne?
That's right. It's a replacement.
Did Paul McCartney ever write a song as good as Skater Boy?
Better, yes.
Okay, then he is better than me.
Skater Boy is a good song, Paul. Though. Blake Shelton turns 48 today.
The only thing I really know that he does is The Voice, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's also a country music star.
I don't know.
Star.
I'm sorry.
He's married to Gwen Stefani.
I'm not familiar.
You think Gwen Stefani is good?
I mean, look, if we were both like juniors in high school, I'd be like, good job. Like, I like your style and your fashion. But like, the world moved on, and so do I. Better.
From B. Snow, 27th birthday today. I interviewed Kevin on my college radio station at Texas State 8 years ago.
Sounds like that was a great day for you. Congratulations, better.
Oh my gosh.
No, you can be better.
Oh, okay.
You got to talk to me. That's what happens. This is Are You Better, Kevin?
Silk the Shocker turns 49 today. I swear I thought Silk the Shocker was going to take over rap.
What do you think happened?
I don't know exactly what happened. I've kind of stopped following it and following his story after high school.
You just stopped.
There's a song with him and Twista that I just loved, and I can't remember what song it is or find the album that it was on.
Did you have it Google it?
I don't.
I have a question.
Yes.
He was the brother of Master P. Did he ever show up in WCW? Because Master P and a bunch of the No Limit Soldiers, including Swole, they were in wrestling for several months. And so I'm just curious, if anybody could help me out, if Silk the Shocker was in WCW as well. That will help me make my decision. Plus, he came up with the hand signal. So he can be better than me.
Monica Barbaro turns 34 today.
Who?
She is in the new Top Gun movie. She was the...
Was she Jennifer Connelly? No. Better. Wow.
Thank you for bringing
Nobody knows
zone
who
to
that
this
is.
World. She was also in that new Arnold Schwarzenegger show on Netflix where she was his daughter. I watched it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Or was it a
Wasn't
movie?
That the same
was
show
it a show
that,
or a movie?
No, that was a show. Yeah, you loved it. That was the same show that Mike. That was the same show that Mike's like, that's the worst piece of trash I've ever seen.
It was terrible. I loved it so much.
Yeah. Better.
Reggie, were there anybody else from that list that you wanted me to throw out there?
I mean, I've got the list. I've got your prepared things for them. So, you know, you just let me know.
Scooter Braun turns 43 today. You know who Scooter Braun is? Baby, now we got bad luck. He is the producer.
Oh, I thought, I was like, is this who this song is
that
about?
That bought all the rights to Taylor Swift's stuff and then sold them all out from under her, and which forced her to then say, you know what I'm going to do? Re-record everything so you get nothing because my listeners will listen to Taylor's version, not your version.
So we don't like him then? Look, I need to make sure I answer this right. I can't have the Swifties coming after me.
I think the Swifties would
like
say they'd say you need to be better than him.
Sorry, Scooter. Hopefully eventually you'll be Bicycle Brawn. Better!
FUBAR! That's the name of the show. God, that was terrible and I loved it. Which one?
What do you mean? You were on the segment.
That's it. That's all I got. We got.
What?
We're late.
You said which one? And the answer was none.
We've been past clock all day today. I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble
from Kevin.
Yeah.
Dad.
No, not from Kevin.
Feels unlikely. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go back to the Mavs. Adjustments they just couldn't make in the NBA Finals. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Tatum switches to the left hand, attacks to the mid-block, stop and start on Lively, runs it off the window, score and a foul. The world said, Jason Tatum, you have to show us with the championship on the line, and he has been the best player on the floor from the start of Game 5 to this very second.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Adjustments the Mavericks just could not make throughout the NBA Finals, and perhaps a fantasy football bet payoff discussion. If you like, in this segment. All right. A couple of things that I looked at was the inability, or I guess included, the inability to push the pace. Game 4 was the fastest played pace of the series. 96 possessions per 48 minutes and resulted in Dallas's first win of the finals. But most of the rest of the series, it was slower than that for the Mavericks. And if you have a pace at 94 or less, Boston in the playoffs going into this game, 12-1. The Mavericks, 6-6.
Okay.
So it's easy to see that, like, Boston's like, no, we're okay with slowing the pace down. And Mazzulla even said as much after game 4. He was like, the team that dictates the pace dictates kind of the momentum and opportunity. And did it not feel like that's not only what you saw last night, but throughout the series.
Yeah, and did you see the quote from Mazzulla about Pep also and how Pep helped him?
Pep Guardiola?
Yeah, he said you know, his understanding of spacing.
Yeah.
And the spacing while also playing defense and pace. Like, yeah. That's a big factor, is making sure you're keeping that and not creating lanes for them to pass into. And they were able to get back and then attack forward on the Mavs' offensive pace. So they would get back in time to set up and then also push forward on Luka to fight into those lanes and create turnovers and transition points too. So, yeah, that was a big struggle. And when Kai would try to push pace, it seemed like a lot of times when we would see the Derrick Jones Juniors and the other guys flying in for those, you didn't see that this time. It didn't seem like the other guys were willing to run with them. That was my feeling.
Yeah, I think that you really nailed one of the things that I've kind of noticed in this game right on the head there, is that you had the Boston Celtics setting up defensively. Like, that pace was important to beat them down the floor and get some easy buckets. Because, I mean, in game 4, one of the things the Mavericks clearly wanted to do was attack the paint, attack the rim with force. And they did that very well in game 4. They didn't do it nearly as well in 5. And I imagine some of that is paired in with something I'm sure we'll continue to talk about, which is rebounding.
Yes.
But when you are not getting the ball in, or when you're taking the ball out of the basket, first of all, you know, getting the ball inbounded, that allows the defense to set up. But rebounding and then going the other way is a huge part of that as well. And they didn't do that nearly as much. And that allowed them to get away from getting downhill and continue to attack the paint, which then opened up the threes that they were able to get in game 4. Like, it all is largely connected. And I think one of the things definitely is pace. You allowed Boston to sit into that great defense that they played, and that frustrated Kyrie and Luka.
When he's talking about the rebounding, how many times last night did you get either ticked off or frustrated?
Yeah.
When you just saw one hit the floor in between three Mavericks, and you're like, well, how did that even happen? Or times when Drew Holiday would just sneak in between everybody and snag it, and you're like, how is this happening? And that comes to what Reggie was talking about earlier today. The desperation just did not look there from that team.
And to your point, to both y'all's points, games 2, 3, and 4, the Mavericks won the rebounding battle. They won it by 12, 7, and 21. So we're talking about, like, pretty sizable margins. I realize game 4, eventually people just gave up. But the point is, pretty sizable margins. And in game 1, you only got outboarded by Boston by 4. So you controlled this series in terms of the rebounds until last night, when you ran straight into a brick wall and the Celtics out-rebounded the Mavs 51-35. Think about this. In games 2, 3, and 4, here's the Celtics rebounds tally. 31, 36, 31. And last night, 51. So you saw a much closer to game 1 effort from the Boston Celtics on the boards, and specifically offensive boards, because this is the other thing The Mavericks had to have an advantage points in the paint. Had to have an advantage. Game one, plus eight. Game two, plus eight. Game three, plus 16. Game four, plus 34. Cool. So you're seeing, like, this is the advantage. Last night, it was tied. Points in the paint, 42-42. So think about it. Even when you were losing in Boston, games one and games two, you still had 8 points per game, like a pretty, like definitely a margin of victory in the paint. And that probably goes partially to you also had an 8-rebound advantage in those two games total. Yesterday, you get smashed in the boards, and what happens? You have no advantage in the paint. And if the Mavericks don't have an advantage in the paint against a team like the Celtics, you are so done.
Yeah, and then when your threes aren't going down too.
For sure.
Like if that's you got to figure out which one of those is going to be your advantage. Now, it's a point shy every time if you're winning the paint, but if your threes aren't going down and you can't do anything in down low, then that's going to just continue to create problems for you.
But yeah, I mean, Corey, what you're talking about there is a huge thing. The math of this, that's one of the reasons why the Celtics are tough, is because they're taking a lot of threes and changing that math. And that's why it's actually super important to get downhill, because that's the next most efficient shot in basketball. And you've got to be able to, or actually the more efficient shot in that way, you have to be able to do that at a higher level than they do the 3-point shot. And that did not line up in this game.
And nobody seemed to be finishing around the basket. Yeah. That was like high. You're like, oh man, Derek Lively. Oh man, Greg Gafford. Nobody was actually getting the finish. P.J. Washington, as we were discussing, I think maybe off air, my favorite player. Is P.J. Washington my favorite player?
You think he took a downturn after you guys agreed on that?
So.
Oh, wow. This is Corey's fault. Thanks for bringing that up.
A lot of people have said this on the fan text, by the way. Yeah, this is becoming a thing. I'll still go blame Michael Finley for taking Luka's beer.
Okay.
But even you, when you saw him dribbling and trying to drive, he would get in there, and sometimes he had good finish, but a lot of times it looked clunky, and you're like, dadgum, because you're hoping better for him and the Mavs.
From the 214, I've seen this all throughout the day. I feel like I saw this maybe after games two or three. From the 214, the series just showed me how fixed the NBA is.
I don't know.
I thought the referees had little to no impact on the outcome of this series.
Well, Kevin, there was a jump ball. The Celtics won, and the referee literally screened for Derek White so he could shoot and make the three.
Was this last night when they lost three jump balls in the first 6 minutes? That's fine. Give it to the Mavs.
If there hadn't been a screen, Kevin, there wouldn't have been a made three, is my belief.
Take those 3 points off the board. Would that have stopped the Celtics from their end quarter run?
Clearly.
No, I don't.
It would have changed everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
butterfly effect, Kevin.
You want me to show you? I got the picture tweeted to me, Kevin.
I can't rule out the butterfly effect, and I'm not disputing that particular play, but you got destroyed last night, and I'm not going to say that had anything to do with it. When Luka fouled out, that does look like a screen by the ref, as if they needed it. When you lost because Luka fouled out, I don't think he got jobbed, and he threw a temper tantrum foul on foul number four. We talked about that last week. Here's my next question for you. This isn't an adjustment. This is just a question as a fan. So last night, this barbecue spot in Farmers Branch, Barrel and Bones, said if the Mavs win game five, all open restaurant and bar tabs will be completely comped.
But you
have to be there to the end of the game to qualify. At what point would you have closed your tab and said, we're done? Because we're not going to win. I'm not going to get free food.
When the half-court specialist came in and did that thing.
Cut number two. Let's hear it. This was also the shot that led Patrick Mahomes to tweet out, bro, I hate this dude.
Rebound. Celtics have it. Horford outlet. It's Pritchard again. Pritchard, half court. It's in the air. Got it. He did it again. Peyton Pritchard did it again with the world watching. He knocks down a half-court three. That will send the Boston Celtics into the locker room with a 21
point lead. Okay, that's enough, Reggie. That's good. That's good. I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Mike Green's call was really good on that.
I was getting mad again because of that.
And he lives for these shots.
So, Kevin, that's 6 points right there. That you take away the three from the screen by the referee and then the travel that was gone there.
You know what? I agree. And I will go ahead and concede to taking those 6 points off the board
for the
Boston Celtics. So now, new halftime score, Boston 61. Mm-hmm. Mavericks, 46.
Mm. All right. Closer than it was before.
I think they can do it, Kevin.
It's true. And then they outscored the Celtics by all of 3 points in the second half. So I don't know if that would have gotten you all the distance. Now, if you're at this Barrel and Bones restaurant, you
committed.
All right, you're staying no matter
really?
What.
Here's the deal.
And you're still ordering, or you're just like, hey, can you refill my water?
I've gone into this thinking to my, I didn't go there because I was going to get a free tab. I went there because I like the food and I like the drinks, all right? And so now what's going to happen is, Kevin, I've already had so many foods and drinks, but I have an Uber on the way, so it's okay.
Okay, good.
I've already had so many foods and drinks that now I'm just turning to depression and letting the alcohol take over the depression for me. I'm sad and I'm ordering shots to make up for it. Now, how do I make this a party? And so I'm sticking with it. I'm paying the tab. I'm going to be there with my buddies all night. So I'm committed, man. I'm not running away from that tab and saying close me out yet.
Okay. Reggie,
I'm looking over at the bartender and I'm saying, we ain't done yet.
I respect what you're saying. I will probably defer to Reggie on this one, where I was like, yeah, we'll get water from here on out.
Were you going to say to go? That's
I was
going
to say to go. From here on out,
to go water,
and
please.
If the Mavericks don't make a run, then I'm like, hey, let me just go ahead and pay my tab from the 817. As soon as that low percentage Pritchard S went in, I turned the game off. And that's why I thought Mike Breen's call was so brilliant and infuriating, is right before he shot it, he goes, oh, he lives for these shots. And then I was like, son of a gun. And you could see the Celtics bench, from their viewpoint, they're like, it looks online.
Stupid Peyton Pritchard.
Agreed. I told you he might be the villain. Because of his stupid face.
He didn't
face
do
the
jack the entire series except for those
shots. You know what's hilarious? At halftime, I like having the box score up from multiple places. And I looked at ESPN's and I was like, Peyton Pritchard, it didn't register as a minute. Like, he registered as not having played, basically, because he came in for what, like 8 seconds?
but he had three points.
One for one for 3 points.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's only one thing you can do when expectations are that high. Meet them. And there's only one way to stop being haunted by the ghosts and the legends and the champions of Chapman's building. And once again, the Boston Celtics stand alone for all time.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Excellent, Heggy. How the heck are you?
Crappy. I'm so upset that we lost. I realize a whole lot of people were able to turn the page faster than I was. And like, whoa, what a great season. I'll maybe be there tomorrow or tonight. But yeah. For most of the show, I've still been bummed out. Like, you still had a shot to win an NBA title. And then your superstar, Luka, didn't show up when it mattered. Kyrie didn't show up. It was a disaster.
Nobody showed up last night. Hugely disappointing. Okay, fair enough. Good call. Good call. Josh Green
played pretty well.
Josh Green left a great taste in everybody's mouth for the offseason. When you consider Josh Green moving forward and what he can bring to the roster, we will never forget what he did last night.
Assets. Like, so that's what you're saying. Guy. He brings other assets.
Can't wait to trade him.
He's going to put some shrimp on the Bobby.
Yes, he is.
I guess it was a pretty terrible night for Dallas sports, though, all the way around. Like, I stayed at the Mavs or the Rangers game and was watching the Mavs at the Rangers, and they're getting absolutely shelled. And then the Mavs are all. It really, to me, it all came down to that last minute and a half in the first quarter. You had that. I mean, the game was there. I mean, you're hanging, you're going back and forth with the Celtics, and all of a sudden, you look up, there's turnovers from Luka, and it's a 10-point game. And then from then on, you never had a chance. You were never close.
I began to mourn this season last Thursday, though.
After game three?
I might be a few steps ahead of you at this point, Higgs.
Okay.
Thanks for holding out hope, though.
Okay,
that's brave of you.
We appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
You give me a glimmer of hope, and I'm in. Like, just tell me. Just say, there's a chance. And I'm like, all right. I'm just like, was it Lloyd? On Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
I'm absolutely that guy.
And I think I was just also trying to like put off going further into the Rangers and all the offensive problems they have. Because I know, like, obviously Josh Young, we're hoping that he'll be back soon out on rehab assignment. But when people talk about, hey, Malley and Verlander and DeGrom, and I'm like, can any of them hit?
No.
But
Lorenzen can.
Yeah.
And maybe you move Lorenzen into the lineup, huh?
Lorenzen's going to start to hit, and obviously Kisner is one of our best relief pitchers now. So that's the new reality.
Lorenzen with those biceps, there's no way he can't provide some slug.
Oh, he's got some pop to him for sure.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. And he's got the trunk to do it, too.
He's got a caboose. Amen. And that doesn't get enough credit
for that.
That's
the big thing in sports.
Yeah.
Is it the caboose more than the thighs that you want for baseball?
A little bit of both, I think.
I think it is mainly the caboose in all sports. That's what you're looking at.
Okay.
What about for you personally, though? Would you just have a great tuchus or just incredible teardrop? Thighs.
Yeah, I think the butt for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They complement each other so well.
They
though.
Do. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's that's why you can tell when the girl's got the fake one because it just doesn't mesh with the thighs. That's usually the tell. It's just like the way it goes from backside to leg side, I guess.
Have you ever known a girl in real life with a fake butt?
I never personally. No. Okay. Never personally. But you see them and
but
it's
the smell. You know. You can tell.
You know. What?
That's what Lucius told us. Apparently, those BBLs, there's a stench.
That is, I didn't know that. Yeah. I appreciate.
Well, because
that
there's more depth,
there's a new odor coming through
that you weren't prepared for.
Oh,
and you really probably didn't get coached at.
Just like this part of the conversation.
Exactly,
I was not prepared for.
Yes,
my sniffer's been broken for a while.
Your
but
sniffer?
I'm 2 days in a row. My sniffer is working. Yesterday, I
it works
smelled
for a little while. You got three kids.
Yesterday I smelled something in the house. What was it? Oh, the soap.
Are
the
you
soap
still tasting?
Shower.
Are you still tasting?
I can taste.
You got COVID?
No. My allergies have just my whole life have been so miserable that occasionally during the right around this time, I lose my sense of smell.
Got it.
Because polyps and stuff like that start to build up.
Oh, so this is just yearly tradition.
Yeah, it happens all the time. But today I walked in, smelled the coffee, and I was like, there you go. And that BO from that dude at the gym, that was pretty bad.
Oh,
where's some deodorant,
gosh,
bro?
I know Wolchek brought up the end of the first quarter as obviously being very hurtful to the Mavericks title run. Was there a time in the game where you're like, I might keep watching, but it's done?
Yeah, it was absolutely the Pritchard moment.
Yeah.
It was the Pritchard moment where I'm like, okay. And you pretty much already knew anyways. Because the thing that was frustrating about the series, too, is they were like the out-hustling the ball, the 50-50 balls felt like those were 80-20 balls. Celtics
we lost
way.
Three jump balls like in the first
jump
six
balls,
or seven.
The offensive rebounds. The long rebounds, like, all those tip backs where it's like, no, dude, get another hack at that
and
three.
And the Mavs were like tipping it to them sometimes. There's Derrick Jones Jr. He's in position. No, let's bounce it back. Okay, Drew Holiday's got this. Derek White's collecting this.
Yeah.
Let's just reset the shot clock for them.
Yeah, that was around that time. I had already decided, whenever you're talking about when Pritchard hit that, I'd already decided I have made myself comfortable on this couch. All right. I'm dug in and yeah, I'm stuck here for the night. This is just where I'm going to be invested at.
I've been scouring the internets looking for any reason to believe that the Mavs had made a tactical adjustment that would give them an advantage.
Yeah.
And I asked our guests it yesterday, like, is there anything they did or they just try harder? It's like, no, they just wanted it more in game four. And I'm like, that's not enough to believe.
Is this?
You know? Because you knew the Celtics were going to come back and do that to you eventually. I didn't know it was going to be quite that impressive.
Is this an okay, sarcastic response to my wife this morning? Because she went to bed, I think it was middle third quarter. The Mavericks are obviously losing by a million points. And when we woke up, she goes, oh, I'm guessing the Mavs probably lost. And I was like, no, yeah, they won. Didn't you hear me? And like, I just left it at that. Is that,
they won.
Is that too rude? I guess I still wasn't over it at
it's
that point.
It's a little
point.
Spicy, no. But yeah. I do understand.
Okay.
I absolutely understand.
Now, in honor of Deion Sanders, we talked about this earlier in the show. What's the best lie you've ever been told? Because, you know, we talked the other day about people being forced to go to Shador Sanders' rap concert, and he disputed that, and that's why all these people left Colorado. He's like, that's the best lie I've ever heard. What's the best lie that you have ever heard? Because for me, it was when I was little, my mom would tell my sister and I that she has cameras throughout the house.
Ooh, that's good.
And if we admit who did what, then we'll get a lesser punishment. And she told me one of her worst days as a parent is when we finally got to the age and we're like, go ahead, go check the tape. But for that didn't happen.
Call her bluff.
For,
he did call the bluff, too.
But that didn't happen for many years.
You were 27 years old when you finally
and we just said
that.
Too many things.
But
that we
today
were
it changed for you when you found out that George Washington didn't have wooden teeth.
Dude, okay.
What?
My God. Look it up. Yep.
Well, then this is the best. That, and your next time you're going to tell me Abraham Lincoln was not a vampire hunter.
Because
I know
actually,
he was.
He was.
Actually, he was.
Yeah. I read that book and saw that film.
I know. We all did.
The biggest lie I ever overheard.
He definitely killed those vampires.
I agree.
When I was in one of my classes in college, and there's these three girls sitting in front of me, and they're talking about, like, one of them hooked up with this dude last night, and they didn't use all the precautions necessary. And she goes, but it's okay, because he said he didn't. And I told Corey, I really wish I knew that girl so I could like tap her on the shoulder and be like, hey, I don't know you. I don't know that guy, but he lied. Like, you didn't just go, all right, good work. Let's just take it from here.
He said he didn't what?
Yeah, he lied.
I'm not following.
He always does.
So you need to.
He's the guarantee.
Yeah, you need to go, I don't know, figure out the next steps.
Oh, but
you're the outlier.
Yeah. But he lied to you. I'm really sorry to have to be the one to tell you that.
This was a university age.
It was.
Wow.
It was.
She was years away from graduating, if not months.
She was months away from something. Wow. But I don't know if graduation was what it was going to be.
The 214 with my girlfriend, it said it's okay. I'm late sometimes. Like to be places. Like to arrive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we know.
Very late.
That late text. Doesn't matter what time I say it's time to leave. I guarantee she'll be ready 10 minutes after that time.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest one that irritates me is I'm 5 minutes away when they know damn well they're not. Yeah. I was like, just tell me. Yeah. I'm 37 minutes away so I can plan appropriately.
Mm-hmm. I can make an excuse for you and everything.
If you're like 8 minutes, I think you could say five.
Sure.
But once you dip into double digit minutes away, don't tell me single digits.
I got to
it's
the point,
15.
Yes. In
That's
our
five.
In our family functions where I stopped making excuses for the late members of my family, and they're like, oh, were they doing something? I was like, nope, they're just late. It took many years of me being like, oh, yeah, they had to do this or that. And then finally I was like, no, they're just not here on time.
Yeah, they were probably just laying in bed watching TV until about 35 minutes ago. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, crap, I have to get ready. Oh, I have to dress nicer for this. That's going to take more time than I allotted. Yes. Yep.
Now, the lie that used to work was in sports. Like, there's 5 minutes and 14 seconds left in a quarter. Like, oh, there's just a few minutes left. And that used to work. Now, Maya knows, like, that means there's probably half an hour
sports
left
time. That's not
She has caught on to this now where I can no longer get away with that.
So the best lie I tell every weekend before games is that we got to go a lot earlier. And now they're double-checking my math and stuff. And they're coming back to me and
engineering
like, no,
it.
Clearly, I'm like, oh, so you do know how a clock works. Okay, well, doesn't change the facts. This is when we're leaving.
That's the heady play. You have to adjust. Yes, you have to. It's at least 30 minutes, if not an hour. You know, you got to know your teammates.
Agreed. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. It's a Rangers player show Tuesday, and we have David Robertson for you in the 340.
Ooh, Rangers legend already. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece Maker. Way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.